Welcome back to another episode of Well, It Depends. I'm your host, Derek Doyle, and this is my co-host, Andrew Barron. Today's episode is being recorded on June 10th, 2026. And today's episode, we're going to dive into the question, do I need a financial advisor?
The information in this episode is current as of the date recorded and is not intended as financial, tax, or legal advice. You should consult your tax, financial, and/or legal advisors before implementing any transactions and/or strategies concerning your finances.
So what kind of spurred this podcast topic was ChatGPT launched a personal finance tool in May available to their pro subscribers. So you would be paying $200 a month to have access to this tool. And if we take a look at it in terms of a percentage fee, where how we kind of work in the advisory space, if you have an account of an even number, $100,000, we're looking at a 2.4% fee to have ChatGPT kind of manage your money as you're paying $200 for that service. As advisors, there really isn't an honest yes or no answer. It's a well, it depends answer when it comes to do you need a financial advisor. But first, we're going to kind of talk about going it alone, not having an advisor, and some of the challenges that you might face. We had this conversation just at the office, casually, me and Andrew, not too long ago, talking a little bit about how, yes, there is a lot of tools available to the average person nowadays, but even so, if you do go at it alone, a lot of these ETFs that we're looking at, just to name some examples, SMH, which tracks semiconductors, and we've known that those companies have had a really good run this year. IGV, which tracks just specific software sector, we're looking at about 0.3% fees for just holding those accounts. And if you hold multiple ETFs that act like these two, you could add up to about 1% without even you kind of knowing it, and you don't have an advisor. So essentially, Andrew, what do you think are some challenges, in your opinion, that someone might run into it outside of the investment space, going at it alone and trying to be their own advisor during whatever stage they might be in?
One of the big things that just pops up is just being educated on all of the tax laws, the macroeconomics, and just the greater picture of your cash flow and your financial goals. And is it impossible for someone to get there? I would honestly say no, but you would have to make the commitment to educating yourself and finding the hours to do so, which you may not want to do. And that kind of follows in line with getting older. I find a lot of times, especially in married couples, one person takes a primary role in the financials and the second person kind of takes a back seat. What happens when and if the first person passes or has a cognitive decline just because they get older? Where does that leave the second person? And especially if they are completely unaware or ignorant of finances, They could make a really horrible mistake. One of the big things about being a financial advisor is solidifying a relationship so we understand the needs and priorities of our clients over time, what they want over the long term, and then helping them implement those.
Yes. And you had mentioned a little bit about life stages and how that's a big role when making the decision. Let's dive into those life stages. So what we like to classify the four major life stages are as early retirement. So we're looking at your 20s and your 30s. You're maybe maxing out your 401k. You open up your Roth. You're just starting to dip your toes into some of this early retirement planning strategies. Then we get into kind of mid-career. We kind of consider that your 40s and on, you might be starting to be exposed to some equity comp, college savings is coming in if you have kids, life insurance. There are some now new complexities that might arise in your life. Then we kind of get into what we like to call pre-retirement. And this is obviously your 50s into your 60s. Social Security starts to be more on the forefront. When should I take it? When should I not? Planning around that. And also something that often gets overlooked is the health insurance aspect, because you are on your employer plan, you kind of forget about that. And then you have a little bit of Medicare planning that might come up as you might need to start transitioning to that. And then the last and final stages is at or in retirement, which we look at as 65 plus. And this is when a lot of the challenges might come around RMDs, estate planning, tax management. There's way more complexities that arise during this stage. So my question to you is, when do you start to see individuals actually take that step? And what age do you see them really start being more curious and reaching out for possibly help?
Honestly, across the board, I think all, especially higher income, higher wealth people, have a realization that when they hit some kind of number, and it really depends on individual, but it's often in the six figures, or they have some kind of major inheritance, there's a level of money where they feel like they want expertise, where they surpass their own knowledge base. And once that happens, people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, all the way through. That said, there also is a serendipitous moment for people in retirement where it's exactly, I've been doing things, but I don't want to anymore. I want to use the word checkout, where it's, I don't want to be bothered and worried. Maybe that's the key word, mm-hmm. about things. I don't want to be worried about money. I don't want to be stressed about money. I just want to enjoy life. I'm in the part of life where it's about fun and planning and enjoying the time we still have. And so that's kind of, that is part of the thing we see in our practice, is especially for comprehensive services. It's, I want someone to help me manage with taxes and investments and hold my hand as life throws me challenges.
Yeah. And I completely agree with everything you said. And one of those issues that we'll dive into that might cause an area for you to kind of reflect and say, I need some extra help and take the burden off your shoulders, is what we like to call the distribution problem. Earlier on, like I was saying, through the different life stages, earlier on, you're just worrying about accumulating wealth. You're just putting money into accounts and watching it grow. We're not really touching it. Now, as we enter the at retirement life stage, we are now solely not making any more additions to these accounts, and we are solely focusing on subtractions. We run into a lot of factors like we've addressed in previous podcasts, like sequence of returns risk. But really, what are some main challenges that you tend to see during times of larger distributions in retirement that people might overlook if they're making a big distribution during their maybe beginning or middle retirement lifestyle?
The biggest thing I see is hesitancy, actually. If they're going to make a major purchase that falls outside of the 4% rule of thumb or something like that, people will get hooked on spending, quote unquote, too much money.
Yep.
And is that they won't actually live the life they could have lived. And we in the industry do a good job of scaring people about outliving their money. And don't get me wrong, you know, there is longevity risk. I have people who are over 100 in my own practice. That said, a lot of times people underspend because they're so concerned about the end of life that they forfeit what they could have done when they were young and healthy today.
Yeah.
And so taking the time to evaluate, what does this do and how does it affect the long-term stability of the plan? And maybe you dial it back, or maybe you cut expenses in the future. There's usually ways around it. So that's the biggest thing, is hesitancy in spending rather than just implementing it smartly.
Yeah. And like I said, in the life stages part of the podcast where we were talking about how later on there are true mistakes that you can make that do have effects that could cost you money. And I go back to just thinking as simple as the question, what account do I take this money out of?
Yes.
What are the tax consequences? Just simple things like that, of understanding which account makes sense given the right moment and time, even in the calendar year, can have ultimately effects down the long run in terms of a tax efficiency standpoint and save you money. So truly taking money out of your account is where you start to see some possibly expensive mistakes occur if you don't make the right decision. That leads into our final topic of just kind of us talking about what do we think actually makes a good advisor. And I think the value is in the planning process, the actual setting the meetings and talking about how your year's going and what's going on every quarter, if not, you know, for maybe some people every month, just staying on top of things and making it more of a routine and getting into a habit, whereas some people might not have that discipline to sit down and talk about finances because most people don't find enjoyment in doing that. I also think it's a behavioral value. And I could even, we can even go back and look at something more recently that happened in April of 2025 when the market fell off a cliff during the tariff. You can help and dramatically save a client tens, you know, thousands of dollars from just helping them not panic sell during times and crises that happen in the market. You see it all the time where a lot of times when you want to sell, you're already too late. And this is now the worst time to be possibly selling when the market has already fallen 10, 15%. So my question back to you is, in your opinion, what is something that do you think that is often overlooked as a good job that advisors do that clients maybe not might not see as we are kind of doing things a lot of times in the background?
One of the biggest things I see, and I'm still understanding this from a senior advisor early in my career, is that we are professional naggers. And it is our job to get our clients to the finish line. And sometimes it's easy, and sometimes we have to drag them there. But that is one of the key things, is not just doing the planning, but implementing the plan so that it actually matters and takes effect. Because you can do all sorts of planning, but if you actually never implement it, it's worthless.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. So that about wraps up today's episode. I am your host, Derek Doyle.
And I'm Andrew Barron.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for watching. If you found this video helpful, give it a thumbs up and hit that subscribe button so you don't miss future updates. Looking for more insights like this? Head over to our website at jgua.com for additional resources. And if you'd like to talk about your personal financial goals, we'd love to help. Just click the Schedule a Meeting button highlighted on your screen to book your complimentary consultation. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you in the next video.